when she's been, and
like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Did we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic bi moment of the
chaotic bi moment. And you're watching Black Bi Reality.
Black Bi Daddy.
And those who love us.
Hello, you are watching and or listening to the Black Bi Reality Podcast, a podcast for Black Bi baddies and those who love us. I am your host, Nicole Weaver, an entertainment writer, previously at Collider, Showbiz, Cheat Sheet, now writing for Pop Heist. And I have been covering, recapping this season of The Traitors US Season 3 with my co-host, Quita Tinsley. Hi, Quita.
Hey there.
Hey there. How are you? You feeling? We got two big episodes. We had a huge cliffhanger.
Yes.
But without getting into any of the details, just grand scope, we wrapped up this season. How are we feeling?
This season has been a whirlwind. I feel like I'm coming out of the end of it like I've been tossed around. So much has happened. The cliffhanger did not disappoint, because it's like, if you're going to leave me on a cliffhanger, it better be worth it. And wow, the finale and the reunion. What a time.
What a time. I think by the time I got to the reunion and the more and more faithfuls started coming out, I was like, yeah, it's been a whirlwind. They've been banished. They've been murdered. I was like, I actually don't need to hear so much from these people. Mm-hmm. They missed so much of the game. Mm-hmm. That I'm just like, what are we doing here? But I still think we had some good moments, and we get to talk about it. So, starting with our finale, these two traitors, Brittany Haynes, Daniel Reyes, they are there at the round table. The only person left to make a vote was Brittany. I said last episode, Danielle is toast. I would like for that to not be the case, but I don't see how she's going to get out of this. And what does Brittany do? She votes her out.
Last episode, when we were recording with Asia, I was like, well, it seems like Brittany cares about self-preservation. And that was definitely a move where she was like, I think the writing's on the wall for Danielle. Yeah. And I need to just like do this now, because sure, I could send it to a split vote. We do flip cup or whatever, leave it up to chance. But then she's like, it'll just be the next night and the next night. I was like, girl,
exactly.
The finale is the next night. Like,
they would have banished them, though.
They would have. But I don't know. A part of me did want Brittany to like hold down Danielle and like keep her word.
Of course. I mean, her keeping her word, she could technically be like, well, I did save you for a vote. I said a vote. Truly. Did I save for the next vote? No. So, yes, Danielle, she gets banished. Oh my gosh. She's the last one to make it from the original, but she makes it even to the last episode. I think they also kind of wanted to give Danielle that last kudos. She gets to be in the finale.
She did. I mean, she earned it. She, wow.
Here, let's say this right off top. Every season of The Traitors US has been Emmy winning gold because of Black women.
Yeah.
And I won't hear otherwise.
Right. Cerie, Phaedra, now we have Danielle.
Yeah.
Just like, give Black women their flowers. They make this game so amazing. And even folks like Peppermint. Peppermint was the first one out last season, and we still remember her. Mm-hmm. Bob Iconic this season. So I'm just like, give Black folks their things.
Give them their checks.
Period. Run them their coins.
Especially that on top of all the entertainment she gave us and strategy, she got so much hate. But we'll get to that. Now, after she gets banished, Danielle, I think she continues her acting. She's like, again? Brittany? I know Brittany was sick of her when she said, can't believe we're doing this. again, and she's just like, wow. And Brittany's like, girl, what else am I supposed to do? But once she gets up there to say whether she is a traitor or faithful, I think she gets very honest. I mean, everyone at that final moment is pretty honest, or if they're embarrassed for their game, Wes, they'll try to beef up their standing. But, you know, all Danielle had to say was that she did everything she could for her family. That includes swearing on them kids. And of course, I'm definitely a traitor, and walks out. Right. Brittany's crying. Do you think, are you buying Brittany's tears?
No, she pulled a page out of Danielle's book from last week when they got Carolyn out. Like, she's like crying, crumpled on the table. And I did love that it felt like Danielle was like putting a nail in her coffin, and the way that she was handling her so openly at the round table and like making it obvious how hurt she was by her. And I think the way that Danielle was communicating it made it seem like it was far beyond just like the, it was like, yes, BB reindeer games, but it's like, we traitors in this together and you backstab me again. Wow.
This is so funny. Quita, you're finally, I don't think you said BB reindeer games this whole entire season.
It's so unserious.
It broke you. You finally have to acknowledge it.
Right. I'm just like, what is this? BB reindeer games, this blip of a spinoff that created this whole like iconic moment on Traitors.
And again, truly, and even BB reindeer games was breadcrumbed before season 25 of Big Brother. Like, they had they had Brittany, Danielle, and Frankie Grande go into the Big Brother house and like get a machine, and it broke the universe. So season 25's whole theme was the multi-universe, BB universe. Wow. And then at the end, they come back with the machine, they take it all back, and they're like, surprise, we're gonna do BB reindeer games. And everyone's like, what's that? And then we're now here, like, the Daniel Reyes return has and Brittany Haynes has lasted a long time, actually. Even though Brittany's like, we only talked for 3 hours in TV, CBS, Paramount Plus history, this is a long running bond, Brittany. So how dare you?
Oh my God.
So funny. So Ivor and Gabby are trying to comfort Brittany a little. But, you know, Danielle also says she's embarrassed. There's no need to be embarrassed. But guess what? Remember when we had all these missions and someone won, and then we weren't even told who won? Brittany won. Danielle absolutely won.
Danielle absolutely won that game. And they, I feel like they knew the writing was on the wall for Danielle. So they were like, we're going to hold on to this until after the round table to make sure the seer doesn't walk out of the castle.
Yeah. So she has to really strategize.
She was like, Dylan Efron, you know,
problem.
Our boy wonder over here, literally calling her moves play by play. And honestly, by the end, I was just like, Dylan, you're annoying. Stop. Like, whatever. You know, and she chooses Gabby. And I was worried because it would make a lot of sense for her to try to set up Gabby and sabotage her as like the final traitor that they need to get out. But I was really happy that she made the move to be like, actually, I'm not going to turn on Gabby because it would be ultimately blow up my own game. But a part of me wishes she would have chosen Dylan and like caused chaos and confusion in the castle. Like in the way that she like publicly announced at breakfast that Gabby was a faithful, I wish she would have actually chosen Dylan and then at breakfast chosen not to tell whether he was a faithful or a traitor and like caused like suspicion on him, even though everybody loved him. But I'm just like, at that point, he was like a shoo-in to win because he was so trusted by everyone else in the castle.
Yeah, it's true, but I still don't think it would have worked. I think the only way was to do Gabby. Gabby says, I'm a faithful. She's like, okay, back at breakfast. basically Brittany ruined Dylan Efron's plan because he's like, if she she says anyone's a traitor, she's a traitor. He said immediately. But I like that he doesn't stop thinking because it was after breakfast that he was like, oh my God, there's an option that I've never even considered. They both could be traitors. And I was like, yo, he's like, it's true. I'm an overthinker. But I was just like, oh my God. He doesn't stop.
He doesn't. He, you know, like, I think what was annoying also about Ivor is, like, Ivor was, like, telling a lot of the women that they were taking this game too serious. And I was just like, people like Boston Rob, people like Tom Sandoval, people like Dylan Efron were constantly thinking as well, you know? And I'm just like, no, they also were stressed all the time. Tom Sandoval had a new theory every 30 seconds. Dylan Efron is like, oh, well, Brittany didn't do what I thought she would do, so that makes her faithful. No, they're both traitor. And it's like, okay, girl, just number-wise, that would be a lot of traitors.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. I do have to point out Alan's outfit. I had to get the full fit. It's like, I don't know, velvet? Like, what's this?
Yes.
And it's sparkly. It has a pattern.
Right.
It's got a suede hat, like a fedora. And I'm just like, this is so bisexual.
It is.
And he only has one outfit the whole day. I was surprised he didn't have a costume change.
Same. I was so shocked.
Nice.
It honestly seemed tame for the finale to me, but also a lot of people would not consider that outfit tame, but
it's tame in comparison to his others, but it's like, there has to be, it's easier when there's a theme and the missions at least give kind of a theme, a playbook. But after breakfast, we're talking, we're chit-chatting of what could possibly be. I wrote, it's amazing how he could be so right and so wrong at the same time, because Danielle was hurt. She was going to be hurt by Brittany no matter what, because she wanted to guilt trip Brittany and use any emotional leverage she could to get to the end. And Brittany was a faithful majority of this season. So no matter what, Brittany's game was going to take a downfall. I kind of wonder if that's the revenge, though, a little.
Ooh, I mean, that would definitely be long game, but yeah. But I mean, the moment that she chose Brittany as a traitor, she kind of sealed her fate. It was like they were instantly linked because Gabby was someone who had already felt like the both of them were traitors long before Brittany was even a traitor. Mm-hmm. And I feel like after Brittany became a traitor, the way she was like really rallying for Danielle made it seem more and more obvious that she had to also be a traitor.
I guess so. But they could have just leaned on, they could be friends. Like, there's a universe where that happens.
Sure.
So Dylan talks to Brittany. He said that he learned from his brother about acting, and he could tell that she's acting. You think Brittany Haynes went to the same acting school as Zac Efron?
Mr. High School Musical? No.
What methods is he even looking at?
And I think a part of me, I did want him to, because eventually at the roundtable, they do note her personality difference, how at the beginning she was much quieter around folks. And I mean, she was just trying to blend in. It was a strategy move, you know, and like how over time there's less and less people, like her personality starting to shine more.
Which just is natural, isn't it?
It is. It is natural. But I think maybe, and because he's, well, I guess she showed up the same way on her season two. I don't know. Maybe it's like he reveres the game players in some weird way.
Yeah. For sure, for sure. No matter what, anything can be used against you in the show.
Right.
But that's, like, my point. I'm, like, partially just being a Libra counter-arguing every point, but it's just, like, This is so silly. It's a very silly game. So Dylan, he gets his group together, and that is Ivor and Dolores. Now, this is something I did not realize literally until the finale, but I'm like, Dolores, she is playing like one of those sneaky Big Brother players. Like, even when she later goes and talks to Brittany and Gabby, and Brittany asks her, what are you thinking? Dolores doesn't say a name. She said, what are you guys thinking? And I'm like, that's a little sneaky Big Brother thing. Like, she's, unless it's Tom, which low stakes, no one's trying to really protect Tom like that. So she can say Tom at the round table if she wants to. And he was saying her name. So makes sense. But any other thing, like, she's tight-lipped, everyone trusts her and wants to take her to the end, and I actually want to give kudos to her.
Yeah, she played a strong game. I don't even know if she realized how strong of a game she was playing, because I think all her dynamics with Danielle too is she often was asking Danielle what was she thinking, like who was she thinking, and that really worked for her. And then she would have her little beef with Tom, or like the last round table really being thrown at Ivor's way. I also kind of love that, like, Dolores would just be in her own game. You know, like, there's, like, a robust discussion at the round table happening, and she's like, don't care about any of that. I'm throwing my vote at Tom because he's voting for me. Oh, I hear y'all. Y'all think it's between Gabby and Danielle. Actually, I think it's Ivor, and I'm just going to do that.
Yeah, it was so awkward when they were having their group meeting. Dylan's like, I'm just trying to keep my peeps together, and they're both eyeing each other like,
Spider-Man meme. Like, yes. Both faithfuls being like, you look like a traitor to me.
So wild. And then, so Gabby, she thanks Brittany for not betraying her or lying, but Brittany also tells her, Dylan is acting strange. And this is probably a moment where Gabby is like, oh, she's a traitor. Who's suspecting Dylan?
Right. I mean, I felt like Gabby came to the, even like the dinner with Brittany, and was like a little, like, I'm a little nervous about you. And then, when Brittany started talking game and strategy and being like, Dylan's acting weird. And it's like, dang. Because Gabby was ready to go with the theory that we're all faithfuls. And I think she was like, when both Brittany and Dylan are like, no, I think there's one more, she's like, damn it.
I guess. They did have one more mission. I'm not going to go into depth with this, but this was really cool because they also, after they gathered more money, they had these people go up, strung up by a helicopter and having to drop things into a circle to double the prize pot. These two are mothers, and they immediately were like, I have to get home to children.
Right. Honestly, I knew they had to be up to shenanigans because the first part of the challenge was so simple. Yeah. It was like, oh, unicorn woods. Oh, we're in the car having a nice, fun joy ride. And it's like, this is it? No, actually, we're going to be dangling off from a helicopter.
Look at Ivor.
What?
Why did Ivor, the like senior citizen, have to go up alone?
Literally. And you know they came up with all these challenges, like, before. You know, like, and this feels like it comes straight out of the challenge.
Yeah.
And these were the contestants that you had left in the show. And, like,
you're
dangling Dolores and Brittany Haynes above the woods.
They have the best reaction. Just jaw dropped, has goggles on. Now, I do wonder if Gabby and Dylan going together had any effect on her also standing by him, because she said he actually was very comforting to be next to and supportive. She was very scared during this, and it's like, but what if she had to go up with Brittany instead?
I do feel like it bonded them, because I felt like even Dylan started backing off the second half of his theory of that if Brittany is a traitor, Gabby also is a traitor. It felt like he started backing off of that and really being like, I think Brittany's a traitor, you know? Because
a part of me is like, I think the way Gabby was so, which it could have just been the challenge, but a lot of times traders are kind of concerned about the money. And Gabby was not concerned about the money at all when she was dangling from that helicopter.
Yeah. Ooh, this round table was still a really good one. Brittany knew she had to fight for her life, and I think she did that.
She did. She did. And the way that Dylan was so flustered when her argument was like, you could be a traitor. And he's like,
he started stuttering.
Me? What? And she's like, what? I can't also think that you're a traitor. And he's like, well, no, you can, but it's the way you said it. It's like, no, you're flustered that she said it.
What other way is there to say it? She was very calm, giving her points. One of them is that Dylan's points is she was after previous traders like Boston Rob and Danielle. She was not a trader during Boston Rob, so boo. He says Danielle could have picked Brittany to win together for storybook ending. And I was like, storybook ending or the biggest plot of revenge?
You'll never know. You know, it's like a fail-safe plan, because it's like, if she's able to do it, then it's the biggest revenge. And then if Brittany crosses her first, she gets to be like, I was gonna take you to the end, it was gonna be us together. Yes. Winners.
Andy is so, like, Andy is not quite the best host, because that's my first question to these two, and they never got there. We heard that Rob said immediately no to sharing money with Carolyn, and she was gagged. It's like, yeah, like, you are giving Danielle all of the responsibility to affirm you as a like, stable, reliable, smart person. But it was everyone. Like, Rob flat out just said immediately no. Then he was like, oh, and then he tries to come up with a reason. We don't see him getting any more pushback on that. Mm-hmm. Freaking Dylan and maybe Tom literally said that Carolyn wasn't capable. And I didn't see Gabby or Carolyn give either of them as much heat as Danielle.
Right.
The Bambies were, from what Brittany said, was a very close group. Gabby was like, no, 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 we were very welcoming. Then she said Wes was one.
Especially if you say that Wes was one of them, they definitely were turning on each other. So, and then I love that Bob was like, the Bambies was turning on each other like the traitors. They were.
Like, what are we doing here? I'm very confused on how Danielle's the big boogeyman to them. Or, like, what was, like, the blatant disrespect? I feel like they couldn't name a single thing besides they didn't go with her plan, which is, like, their right to do. But Gabby's probably still feeling some type of way of just Danielle saying you're a smart person.
Right. And Carolyn definitely seems to have some, like, energy towards Danielle. And I'm just like, Carolyn, like, you know, I think a part of me is like, Carolyn also fed into the beef, you know, because she could have, when Danielle was starting to turn on her, she could have, like, tried to de-escalate that and been like, hey,
never did.
We can go at each other, or we can link up together and go after Boston Rob. But she didn't. She's like, her first thing was like, I'm going to blow it up at the round table, which was way too early for her to be doing that with Danielle, because no one knew. Brittany knew what they were talking about, but the rest of the round table kind of didn't know what they were talking about, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then they were talking about postseason of Carolyn stirring the pot, of like alluding to Brittany always knew. Then it's like, did Danielle break an NDA, which is like a huge thing for these shows. They're like coming at her livelihood like this. And it's like, you guys are such sore losers.
Exactly.
All of you. It's giving that. And like, even Gabby won. Like, what's her problem? At the beginning of this reunion, she was talking so much to defend like Carolyn. And it's like, girl, you weren't even there.
Mm-mm.
It's not your time. It's not your section. Mm-mm. What are we doing?
Right. Yeah. Everyone wanting to defend Carolyn. And I think praise a lot of the men, it started to rub me the wrong way.
It's disgusting. I was, like, so put off. I was like, oh, Gabby's losing me. Gabby is losing real bad.
Yeah. Because, I mean, even at the round table when they were voting, you know, clearly no one was swayed by Brittany's argument at all. Mm-hmm. Literally no one. But I'm just like, she did make a damn good argument. And, like, if we look back over the season, he aligned himself with Boston Rob. He was close with Danielle. Like, you know, he was by their, like,
train
logic,
of thought.
Yeah, mm-hmm. their train of thought. He could have technically been making the first move on Bob, you know, and then, like, Boston Rob came and backed him up at a following roundtable. You know, I just, the fact that no one would, like, even entertain the idea that Dylan could be a traitor was, like, a little frustrating, especially after weeks of just hearing Ivor, just his evidence is it's a woman. It's yep. one of the girls. That was it. No actual evidence around gameplay at all. Just like based on numbers, it's a woman. Okay.
At least what we've like from what we've seen. But yeah, it's just like, it stinks. It stinks in here. Brittany says, yes, he was also close to Danielle, and she felt betrayed by him because she does make a statement to that, which was probably a little nugget for Brittany of like wiggle room, honestly. But then Dylan, yeah, he just accuses Brittany of attacking. He even said assaulting. I was like, he's so whiny. You're winning and you're even so whiny.
He literally was like, how dare you call me a traitor? I'm not a traitor. You're a traitor. Like, Dylan, calm down. Like, this was always a possibility.
It was always a possibility. Dylan has to be the little brother, right?
Oh, probably.
He gives little brother energy.
The way he folded at that round table when Brittany was coming after him, and he's just like, oh my gosh, no, I'm not a traitor. You're a traitor. Like, how dare you call me a traitor? It's like every traitor who has gone up against somebody, a lot of their counter argument is like, I could say the same thing about you. You know, like right. We saw Danielle and Gabby do it. We saw Carolyn and Danielle do it. We've seen this argument happen. Like, even Tom and Dolores, like, going after each other was like, no, you're a traitor. You're a traitor. So I'm just like, Dylan, the fact that you're sitting there acting like you are holier than thou and yeah. can't conceive of someone calling you a traitor, that was always a possibility, sweet. Like, buck up and have an argument.
Right. Dolores and Ivor also go after each other, but I didn't really write much about that. So from here, should we just start talking about this end? The end part, I mean, Brittany, she does get banished. Did she say anything after she got banished?
She, like, left in a huff. Honestly, I kind of enjoyed the swift retribution of, like, she flipped on Danielle and she was next to go. I was like, wow, look at this.
She did say, think of me when the wind blows. Hope you freeze. That's what it was. And then she just walked off. So after the round table, people are talking. Dolores actually said she distrusts Dylan, which I know Ivor was never going to go for. And Dylan was like, I'm worried. Like, this last step actually is just me on the line after everything, which I was living. He was sweating for the first time this whole entire season.
I honestly was praying that Dolores was gonna, like, just, like, blow up this game, throw in that red pouch, and then convince Gabby to vote Dylan, and then just the three of them win. That was, like, my dream. That, yeah. I was wanting that.
So we have Ivor, Dolores, Gabby, and Dylan. They do the same thing as usual. Everyone has to throw in whether they want to end the game here or stop to banish someone. Everyone said everyone here is a faithful. I don't need to be greedy. Let's split this 250K minus taxes amongst all of us. Do you think that this was a smart move?
I think it was the smartest move for both Dylan and Gabby. Because I think if they had to vote again, those were the two people who had it was like the most risky for them, you know, because like Dylan named, coming out of that final roundtable, Brittany made a really great argument. All it would take is just like
one person deciding for them to vote and people being like, oh, I don't know, he might be the final traitor. And like similarly with Gabby, like the way that Dylan had been accusing her the whole time, and like, you know, there had been murmurs up until that day of Dylan being like, they might both be. So I think it made the most sense with the two of them being in that final four.
It did. People found it anticlimactic. I also started feeling that way, but I think it would have been more climatic if the show leaned into whatever that Dylan versus Gabby thing was.
Yeah.
Because then it would have been a true question of like, okay, they're here. Mm-hmm. Will they do it? Separate Gabby and Dylan for that helicopter mission. Don't mm-hmm. have a moment of like closeness and then see what they want to do. But at this point, they're like, we're faithfuls. So
right. We're all faithfuls, right?
Yeah, let's go. So that is our finale. We already talked a little bit about the beginning of this reunion. Andy put Dolores on Front Street for the very beginning. He was just like, so you voted wrong 8 out of 10 times.
I'm like, rude. How many times did Tom Sandoval vote wrong?
Right. But she's the first housewife to make it to the end. I didn't know she was a correctional officer.
I didn't either. Now I'm like, wow. Yeah. Her and Derek, like, constantly wrong.
Yeah.
And that should tell you something about our carceral system.
And I watched Dolores on Housewives, and that's never been made a point. And it's so interesting because we talked about Phaedra. Everyone talked about Phaedra, and we were all like, she's a lawyer.
Right.
I guess Dolores' game just seemed so bad that no one was like, she could do this. She's a correctional officer. Wild. Although I do think she played I'm trying to think of the word that Big Brother fans use for like the type of player she is, because it's not sneaky. She's not exactly like backstabbing. It's just and it's not floater, because I think she had really strong relationships. I forgot what the third one is, but if you know and you're watching on YouTube, please comment below. Let's get into Bob the Drag Queen, because boy, this is fun. This was very fun. So Andy calls Bob's outfit understated, and Bob said, it's my grandmother's, and Andy died.
I can't. Oh my gosh.
So our traders start talking here. I mean, we've revisited Rob feeling threatened by Bob's mm-hmm. comment. Danielle's like, it went nowhere. Like, it affected no one but Rob.
It was it's a consequential, like, statement. Like, I'm like, the other cage boys did not respond.
No. But I'm not going to blame Rob exactly. Because it's like, it's just at that point, the minute you might throw, Bob should have done it behind someone's back.
Yeah.
Don't do it in a crowd. That was wild of you. We would have probably a very different season if you didn't do that. But Bob does not know how to hold back. And that's okay. And Bob said that. Everyone's like coming at Bob. Bob's like, I would have been the last person in the room if I'm working TSA, if
right.
I'm working as a janitor.
Right, or if I'm craft services. It doesn't matter.
And it's so weird because the housewives are such hypocrites.
They are like, haters. I'm like, actually, I'm glad that Bob got rid of y'all. Like, y'all are haters.
It's really feeling like the housewives are intimidated
they
by
are.
This black queer person who is fashionable, who is witty and quick, and who also does not know Dorinda Medley, because why would Bob know Dorinda Medley? Quickly.
I'm like, let's be, and like, as someone who watches the Housewives franchise, I'm like, we have to be honest about some of the hierarchy within the house. I'm just like, Phaedra Park stands out because everyone kind of knows the Real Housewives of Atlanta, whether you watch them or not. Like, NeNe Leakes has broken through pop culture. Like, Phaedra has broken through pop culture. Candy Burris is Candy Burris. You know,
Candy Burris made pop culture, okay?
Period. You know, like, when you think about the Housewives of Beverly Hills, people like Lisa Vanderpump, you know? Like,
the Kyle Richard.
Like, you know, I'm just like, there are people who are just like breaking through. And then you have seasons like Real Housewives of New York, Real Housewives of New Jersey, Real Housewives of Miami have very loyal fan bases, but also they aren't as popular as some of these other seasons. Like, Salt Lake City has been a breakout in a lot of ways. You know, I'm just like, I think in like Dubai, like, girl, like that, I'm just like, I feel like these housewives are used to being the star of the show everywhere they go. Yeah. And Bob was just like being the star of the show. And so they're like, oh, if Bob is taking me out, it's personal. It's like, no, girl, it wasn't personal. Literally, y'all were a voting block, and you're a voting block that, like, watching the Housewives on Traitors, they actually don't care what's happening in the game. They get focused on whatever the hell they're focused on, and you can't convince them otherwise.
Yeah.
Case in point, Dolores. You know?
And to Bob. And Bob checked her. He was like, you don't watch Drag Race.
Right.
So you don't know me.
Right.
So, but she absolutely believes she's, like, above Bob. And it's like,
right,
you guys are probably... Actually, I think Bob is actually more successful.
Way more successful. Bob the drag queen is so well known, and like, maybe you don't watch like Drag Race, but you've probably seen Bob somewhere. Like,
Bob's
constantly
touring. Bob went on a tour with Madonna recently.
Right.
Like, I just, it's a humbling experience for Dorinda, but sometimes you need to be humbled. I don't know.
Right. It's like, girl, it's not that serious. Like, when people are saying we don't know, I'm like, that's the beauty of Traitors. It's like, we're bringing together people who watch The Challenge, Big Brother, RuPaul's Drag Race, and Real Housewives, and a random summer house person. Like, I'm just like, this show is so random, and the audiences often don't know a large group of other people, and even the contestants don't know each other. Wes didn't know them. He was being loud as hell about how he didn't know any of them and didn't care about any of them.
Exactly.
But like, Bob is taking the heat, because how dare you not know him?
It's like, all the gays are not fans of all of you housewives. I know they think that they have them on lock.
No.
Humble yourselves.
No.
Dolores, this eye-switching moment became more of a thing than I thought it was going to be. But so because these people are also doing podcasts, breaking down their theories and stuff, they accused Dolores of giving Brittany and Danielle the eye to switch their vote to Ivor. And that, like, last round table. And Dolores was like, I did no such thing. Bob said she could have been looking at anything. Brittany then wants to jump in. And she was like, did you watch the show? Brittany, you know how it's not Big Brother where you have live feeds and you can see the whole context of a shot. This is an edited show. And if it's a close in on Dolores, she literally could be looking at anything. Maybe you can guess if you remember what the round table is and what direction her head is, but most likely that could have been anything. So who are you trying to play with? That's why you got Tamar'd.
When Bob said, yes, Tamar, I was like, yes.
What does that mean?
I have no clue. I'm like, is it from like The Real or something? I don't know. Or is it from Braxton's Family Values? I don't know. There's so much reality TV. But also, I'm like, it actually, at the end of the day, didn't matter what Brittany thought she saw Dolores do, because Dolores voted for Ivor and she voted for Danielle. And that's all that, you know, I'm like, at the end of the day, she flipped. Dolores did it. So that's that.
Okay. What were your feelings about when we finally got to the Brittany versus Danielle of it all? Brittany is like, I only talked to you for 3 days. This was a lot. Honestly, if they only talked like 3 hours and Danielle Reyes managed to get you a main storyline on the traitors, even though you were a faithful majority of the time and really in the background preseason, only to have this main storyline. Just send her flowers. Just send her a thank you note.
That was my thing, because she was trying to, like, play down their relationship of knowing each other. And I was like, okay, that's cute and all, but why were you crying then when y'all saw each other outside of the castle? Why were you boo-hooing, talking about you were so sorry that you betrayed her on BB Reindeer Games? What's that about? If you didn't know her, you know, why were you trying to be chummy with her the whole season if she was a stranger to you? Like, be for real. Like, instead of just being like, I chose my own game because I felt like Danielle was a lost cause at that moment, and just like owning it, she's just trying to double down on like, I don't know, I didn't know you. And it's like, okay, you could play that game, but no one, it won't look good on you.
Yeah. After. The Survivor players, Tony, I was like, Tony, this is not something you should say, but Tony's sitting there like, with the Survivor players, it's an unsaid thing that we're going to look out for each other. And I was like, and that's why you guys get taken out almost every season before the end. And it's like, and same for the Housewives. As much as like people were mad at Bob, those Housewives were not making up to the end on Bob's dime, because he's like, y'all are too loyal to each other. So
yeah, they stick together.
And just based on the show, maybe Danielle and Brittany were like, we can do this. But the minute Brittany hears a bit too much about her betrayal, now it's like, we barely even know each other. I was like,
okay.
We're co-workers and this is the workplace. Work with me now.
Like, okay, Brittany, sure. And Danielle's like, oh, you'll never get another chance like that again. Period. Because we don't trust you, Brittany.
Exactly. She's like, I did you such a big favor, but that's okay. That's right. You got it. And then we had to revisit Sam. Because Sam, when that light bulb went off and he finally got the mic, because we got rid of so many of the louder, more strategic people, we were like, remember when Tom Sandoval ruined your plan and covered for Carolyn? And Sam was not going to let Tom have revisionist history. He's like, he didn't get the memo. Tom was like, no, I got it. And Carolyn's like, he was just protecting me. And it's like, you are not going to pretend on this here program just because Daddy Andy's here and he would love it to have Tom Sandoval back on anything. Which I still am not buying, even though you guys did a whole montage being like, we should bring... I am not into these washing of Tom Sandoval's freaking perspective. No. Look at that George Floyd freaking interview, that whole New York Times interview, what he was doing to Ariana after the breakup, to Raquel as well, who was absolutely in a institution trying to get mental health, and he wants to talk about, what about my mental health? If you guys don't forgive me, then I might not be on this earth. And it's like, and she talking negatively about the person who is in this. But you got some ha-has on traitors, though.
Everybody's like, oh, or like all the comments that Andy read is like, oh, we think so differently of Tom. Tom Sandoval was wrong most of the time. He never knew what he was talking about. And he was not a delight to watch. He was quite annoying. He was off pitch that whole competition where he was singing. And the only reason he was stayed around for so long was because he was wrong so often. Like, just like, he was not making sense.
The barometers that you guys have for white men on Bravo is disgustingly low, especially in comparison to the women.
Truly.
But you got that. Go ahead and have your ha-has.
And him being like, no, I got the memo. I got it. It's like, no, you didn't, babes. Because if you got the memo, you would have let Carolyn stumble over her words. But you didn't. You swooped in to save her.
Like, It's so ridiculous. I guess we should talk, a little bit about the Bambis, even though that didn't really go much. It's like, oh, Chrishell's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Nikki's like, oh, I forgive you. So...
She's like, you can body slam me.
And then Gabby's like, ha ha, you can body slam me. And I'm like, throw them all away.
Truly. I'm just like that. As excited as I was originally about the Bambis, how it all shook out, I'm just like, wow, throw it all away. Because what even is this? Like, again, folding in the face of misogynists, just like, I can't. Like, what? I'm like, let's be clear. Chrishell flipped on Nikki for Boston Rob. Let's just be honest. That is what she did. She straight up turned on her homegirl and alleged that this girl was like a traitor to be in Boston Rob's good graces. And what did he do? Throw her name under the bus the moment they voted out Nikki.
Mm-hmm. A lot of men got off easy. As they did. Like the one black woman, we have two black women. And the Sierra got to be like, oh, I curse. And Derek is like, actually, I curse just as much, if not more. And it's like, yeah, we know.
Right.
That wasn't necessary. We know.
Like,
but it was all mostly Danielle. And she had the backing of Bob and Robin. And that was pretty much it.
Right. And I'm like, Boston Rob ruined this game. Them forcing Wes and Derek into this game ruined the vibes, because the vibes were hee hee ha ha. Like, everybody's like, it's just a game. Like, it was supposed to be fun. And I'm like, those three men made it not fun. And all of their little flunky boyfriends, like Dylan Efron and Tom Sandoval and all these men who wanted to be in the good graces of the Cage Boys, ruined that game for us.
And then it also affected the white women. Like, let's be real. Like, as much as Gabby at the end wanted to be like, women are smart, women are strong. And it's like, they are smart and strong. Like, this is a lot of their insecurity, I think, more than what, like, you need to be very specific about how Danielle made you strong, because this happens all the time around strong black women. If we're standing in our strong black womanhood, being strategic, wanting to go through plans the way we see it, and if your comments don't make sense, it's not going to make sense. But then they feel inferior, and now it's all of a sudden a woman thing. But Danielle's a woman.
Right.
And Danielle's like, gotten the most hate, Gabby, and you haven't said boo.
Exactly.
So what kind of women are you actually for?
Right. Period.
It's like so freaking transparent. It's disgusting.
It is. I mean, honestly, when we got to the final round table and I'm like, I'm looking at five white people, look at each other. And honestly, I don't know how we got here, but I hate it.
Like, I know how they got there. They're like, oh, we're so all faithful and trustworthy, except for the girl who was so close to that black woman. Dylan can be close to that black woman. Not Brittany. Wow. We should talk about our beautiful black moment to offset those bad vibes. Mm-hmm. What's your beautiful black moment, if you have one?
I think in the reunion, Danielle's whole look, beautiful black moment. And her looking dead at Brittany and being like, oh, no, you'll never fool me again because I don't trust you. Period. I just love when she's just like straight up honest with someone, just like looking them dead in the eye.
Yes. My beautiful black moment, actually, there's so much here because I feel like it could be chaotic bi, because I'm like, this is so queer. Oscars are so queer. We got an Oscar moment full of nominations. I was like, okay, I'm set. And of course, Danielle. One thing Danielle Reyes gonna do, she gonna leave with something, because BB Reindeer Games, as much as they wanted her to win, she didn't. They were like, get this box under this tree that has like $5,000 in it and go. She's like, thank you. And they were like, we are making Danielle Reyes an Oscar trophy. Put it in the budget. We're going to find it. Thank you. Thank you.
She made this season. Yes.
Also, someone reshared the clip of the beat from BB Reindeer Games, like I said, of Brittany, Danielle, and Frankie Grande having that machine. And everyone, the acting in that was cringe. And I commented on it, and I was like, you know what? Daniel got so much flack for her acting, but she's just so Big Brother. Big Brother will do that to you.
Yeah, because I was thinking about that last night and talking with my best friend around, like, Big Brother is just like a different type of game because you were locked in a house with people, you know. So when people are like, she was acting even when the cameras are off, because I'm like, in Big Brother, you're on and you're all on. And like, even when you should be off, there are live feed cameras watching you at every moment. Like, no, like, you have to commit to the bit.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm like, I can't believe she was still playing when the cameras. Nah. I'm here for my money and going home. What right. else are you doing here?
That's how she lasted 8 round tables. Yeah. Like, acting the whole time.
Exactly. What is the chaotic bi moment?
So there were so many of those, but I mm-hmm. think the moment where they had to do the math really quickly, where it was like 23 times 4, and Brittany quickly has the answer, and Gabby's like, she's really good at her periodic table. I was like,
I do feel like she cringed after saying that, and they left it in, and I was like, why did you guys leave that in? But also, this is a little bit of what I'm talking about. As much as Gabby wants to get in her feelings about not appearing smart, she plays into a certain character.
She does.
So, like, what are we doing here?
She does. Absolutely. She does.
Woe is me when people don't take you seriously, but also, you're crying into money, girl. Like, I'm not starting a woman's march for you.
Right. Because it's like a close second is her being like, yeah, I was here for money. Like, dollar sign emoji eye. Like,
yes. Oh, my God. I don't want to give Gabby another thing, but I will. I put down for chaotic by moment, Gabby saying, these gays are trying to murder me and the straights. And I was like, what? What other statement is more real than that for bisexuals and pansexuals?
Truly, honestly.
I really enjoyed this. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we go?
No, I mean, you know, what a season. Just wow. who'd have thought we'd be here with these as our winners, but you know, we did it. I was happy for Gabby, happy for Dolores. Honestly wish there was a last minute throwing of Dylan and Efron under the bus, but you know, we can't win it all.
A lot of people are like, Big Brother, we have to get it together, but it's like Daniel Reyes was the lead of the season. Like, yeah. I can't say that they're some Joe Schmoes in comparison to everyone else.
Right. And honestly, I kind of appreciated that all of the winners weren't gamer people this season. Especially with all of the bravado that Wes and Boston Rob had. It felt good that it was like for folks who don't come from that type of background to win.
Yeah, I think it's very important that there is some kind of diversity. Of course, whenever time there's like a switch up, then people are like, the game needs to change. And I'm like, literally, the game has been interesting most of the time. I still want another normie season, though.
Mm.
We could just do normies. Everyone else does that, but ours is like, now we're only doing famous people after having normies and famous people. I think it would be interesting to like get them together again, but it's like the normies have to be on the same page. Just like all these other housewives and stuff are on the same page around these Survivor and Big Brother people.
Yeah. Because I think one thing about Dylan that was kind of annoying is the way he revered the Survivor and Big Brother people. And it's just like, y'all are all here together. Y'all are all in this together.
So. He revered them, but he knew them. Like, I read that Dylan also, not only he already knew Rob from, like, Survivor, obviously, but he watched Deal or No Deal Island on the plane. So he, like, really knew Rob's game. And I'm still, after we've seen everything, I still think he kind of knew, like, Rob's not going to be here, not as a traitor, but I'd rather take him to the end and then banish him last minute.
Yeah. I think I wish he would have said that at some point.
True.
And he wasn't owning that. And so the way he wasn't owning that made it seem like he was just, like, in Rob's pocket. Because I'm like, I would love to think I would love to think that he felt the same way about Danielle. Of, like, I know she's a traitor, but I'm going to keep her till I can't say, you know, but he wasn't talking about it in that way a lot of times, you know. He would talk about it, honestly, as, like, they're keeping me around.
It's
sure. But also, you could also blow up their game if you really wanted to, you know.
Yeah. I do want to start a Patreon and, like, look at movies. And one thing that I'm like, maybe we could watch that on the Patreon is his. So Dylan was asked, okay, so Bob said, oh, your brother's not a good actor. What did your brother have to say to that? Dylan said, Zach said, well, has he watched Baywatch? I have, because I'm about that bad movie life. It's horrible.
Like, is it?
It is. It's like, it's the most bro-y, but like, not bro-y in like a funny new take way as now bro-y movies are doing. It just gave bro. And I'm like, I distinctly remember a scene where someone's, were caught in like a picnic table. It was disgusting.
What?
Yeah, it's a gross scene. So yeah, I would rewatch that and show it to Jordan for the first time. So it's a post trainers watch. But yeah, Baywatch is not good.
Wow, who knew?
But Neighbors, great. That's
okay.
One that you think would be bro-y, and it is, because it's a frat, but it's bro-y in the new take way. Quita, we wrapped up. We did it again.
We did it. We made it to the end. Public declarations that I will no longer watch the show this time.
For real. Where can people follow you in between Traitor seasons?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at @hello_Quita.
Nice. And I'm your host, guys, Nicole Weaver. We are also going to be wrapping up Love is Blind Season 8. That will be coming out probably on Tuesday with Princess Weeks. Been enjoying that. I also put out my first video about Survivor 48 this week, talking about episodes 1 and 2. The vibes are weird. You know I'm a purple girly. I'm no longer rooting for that purple tribe besides Star. All right, you can find out why by watching it. It's a quick, short, little 20-minute video, but if you haven't known, I started a new job, so I am going to, you know, be a little not as regular with the Survivor recaps until I figure out what that schedule's like and getting Survivor castaways on. And other than that, you can follow Black by Reality across all socials, and yeah, that's about it. I have an article also on Popeyes saying that the hate over Daniel Reyes is overblown. If you're watching this podcast, you probably already agree. But if not, you can also just support by giving that article a click, reading, and just reading how great Daniel Reyes is. And other than that, I hope you feel visible and stay visible today. Bye.